We're doing the Ramban's disputation with Christian representatives. Those of you who are joining us for the first time tonight, please pause and go back to the last class and hear our introduction over there. And where we had left off was that the Christians had claimed against the Ramban that they claim that the verse says there will always be a king from Judea, and they said that who is the king? That's the Mashiach. They defined the pasuk to mean that there would always be a king up until when the Mashiach comes. And then Nachmanides, the Ramban, had said, but there was such a long period during the Second Temple where the kings were not from the Davidic dynasty, they were the Kohanim, and you had the period of the exile between the First and Second Temple when there was an extended period, almost a century, when there was no Jewish king. So obviously that can't be what the verse is saying, that can't be so. And then one of the big priests that was standing on the side said, you know, the Ramban is correct, that the verse doesn't mean that there won't be a period without a king, it just means that he won't stop completely. But there could be a recess, just like the courts have a recess, there could be a recess of a period of the king. And the Ramban was quick to say, you see, they said I'm right. And then this priest said, no, I didn't say you were right. I just said that for a small period of time, like 70 years, like that period, that can happen, you could have a recess. But now that it's been 1,000 years and more since the destruction of the temple, that's not a recess, and the Mashiach must have come. And the Ramban answered, and I think this is where we left off, the Ramban said, "Ata tamit nachem, ki en asara b'davar achozer, ve'en efresh b'divrei anavi ben rav lemat." Said to him, you know, now you're having regrets, and the truth is that you're trying to say that when we say hasara, to remove, that doesn't refer to something that returns, something that's coming back. And in that case, so you have to admit that if when the pasuk says lo yasur shevet miyuda, the rulership will not be removed from the tribe of Yehuda, so long as it comes back to Yehuda, that's called it wasn't removed. So then it doesn't matter whether there was a long recess or a short recess. You're agreeing to my definition that the fact that it comes back to the Davidic dynasty or to the tribe of Yehuda, that's what the pasuk means, that it will not be removed. It won't be removed with permanence. Now, whether it's removed for a short 70 years or a long 1,000 years, it doesn't matter. It's the same definition of the pasuk. Ve'od ki hazmanim she'izkalti zmanim rabim hem. And furthermore, he says, you know, you just answered my claim of the 70 years. I gave you other claims, and I enumerated many years that there was no king from Judea. So that you didn't really answer. Ve'od, and furthermore, ki Yaakov alav ha'shalom lo evtech liyuda she'e lo sheptum chokek al shifto bilvad, aval malchut kol Yisrael nitan lo. When Yaakov promised the tribe of Judea that they would be rulers, he wasn't talking only about rulers over their own tribe. He was talking about being kings over all of Israel. And where is he headed? The dynasty was divided, right? You had the kings of Judea, you had the kings of the north. So throughout the whole period of almost the whole period of the first temple, that prophecy wasn't fulfilled. According to you, the Mashiach should have come back then already. Because already then, in the period of the first temple, there was no Judean king over all of Israel. If you're holding me to Yaakov's prophecy, Kedichtiv Yehuda ata yoducha achecha, the verse explicitly says that Yaakov tells Yehuda, your brothers will all give thanks, they will all be subservient to you. Vichtiv, and the verse says, this is a verse in Divrei Hayamim, in Chronicles, ki Yehuda gever gavar be'echav lenagid mimenu. Yehuda, he overpowered, so to speak, he was successful among the brothers, and the rulers from him. So ruler means ruler from his brothers. The pasuk is talking about him vis-a-vis his brothers. Doesn't mean he'll be king over Judea alone. V'inei nitbatel malchut kol shivtei Yisrael mishemet Shlomo. From the time King Solomon died, there was no king over all of Israel from Judea. that ceased to happen, that ceased to exist. Where was the Messiah then? The Ramban is insinuating. He doesn't say it overtly, but he's saying, if you're saying that there will always be a king from Judea until the Messiah comes, well then the Messiah should have come when King Solomon died. Using your claim, using your logic, because it says you can't ignore the fact that the prophecy is that Judea will rule over all of Israel, not simply two tribes. The verse explicitly says in Kings that the only tribe that stuck to the Judean kings were was the tribe of Yehuda. Now here there's room to argue. Rashi says, and it seems to be overt psukim in Hosea, that under the Judean dynasty you really had Judea and Benjamin and Shimon and Levi. So you had four of the 12. I'm saying that the Ramban isn't really coming here to explain to them his case. He's saying in a general way, we for the sake of honesty, will note that it really wasn't Judea alone. It was four of the tribes that were almost, if not completely, under Judean rule. But that's a different point. So then it's clear, says Nachmanides, it is clear, says the Ramban, that when Yaakov Avinu said the rulership will not leave Yehuda, all he meant is it will not leave with permanence. But for how long it might leave, that's, we don't know. And he says, and the truth is that throughout all this period that we're in exile, that's not called that the kingship was removed. That's not called that his kingship was annulled. Because technically, Yehuda might still have the right to the kingship. It's just the nation isn't there. You don't have a nation in the land of Israel. That's not called you don't have a king. That's called you don't have a nation that can have a king. That's not called God took the kingship away from Yehuda. God took the rights to having a king from the people of Israel. By default, so the tribe of Yehuda is no longer king. But that's not what the Pasuk is saying. The Pasuk says God will not remove from the tribe of Yehuda the rights to the throne. Okay? The fact that we don't have a right to a throne doesn't mean that God removed from Yehuda the right to the throne. That's just not the case, says the Ramban. The prophet wasn't promising Judea, the tribe of Judah, that the Jewish people would never be exiled, in order to fulfill this promise that he will always be king. And the Ramban could add, he doesn't bother, but he could add, quite the contrary. The Torah clearly says in our Parsha, and the Torah clearly says in Akev, and in numerous places, the Torah overtly says you will be exiled, you'll lose your rights to the king, you won't have a king. It says it overtly. The Ramban doesn't bother saying that. But he's just saying, you know, that wasn't the idea here. So that's a misinterpretation of the Pasuk. Chazal peripul v'ta'an ki batalmud amru shekvar ba Mashiach. Notice, they don't have answers, so they move on to a new claim against Ramban. So Peripul stands up and says, the Talmud already says the Messiah came. And he quoted the Haggadah that's in the Medrash Eicha. The Medrash in Eicha Rabbah says, Bahu Gavra Dehave Redi. There was a man who was plowing, and suddenly Vega'at Torate, his ox, let out a yell. Avar Chada Raviva Amale, one Arab passed by and said to him, Bar Yehudai, Bar Yehudai, Jew, Jew, Shari Tortach, Shari Padnach, Shari Kankenach. Jew, Jew, let go of the ox, let go of the pear that you're plowing with, let go of your plow. The itcharev bet magdesha, the temple's being destroyed, don't you know? How could you be busy plowing your field? Let go of all that. Your temple's being destroyed. Shara torate, shara padne, shara kankane. So the Jew, he was very far away from Jerusalem, he hadn't yet heard that the temple was destroyed, he let go of the cow, let go of the pear, let go of the plow itself. Ga'atz mantin yanit. And then the cow yelled again. Amale. So the Arab said to him, Asol toratach, asol padnach, asol kankenach. Take back, bind again, retie the cow, the pairs of that are plowing, the plow share. Tie it all back up. De'itialid meshichachon, for your Messiah has been born. That's the Medrash. The Medrash says the story. So if it were just a story someone were quoting, we'd say, okay, so the Arab said so. But it's not. The Medrash took time to record the following story. Whether it happened or not is a separate question. But the Medrash wants us to be aware of this story. And sometimes an Arab is Elio in disguise. But here it doesn't say that. It says an Arab said this thing. So at any rate, he tells him, now the Mashiach's been born, you can continue plowing. There's a future. So this is what Peri Pool claims against Nachmanides. He says, your own Midrashim, they refer to the Mashiach's being born. So I answered, I said, I don't believe that Midrash, the Ramban says. But it is proof to my claim. So then he yelled and said, look, he's denying their own works. Now we have to remember that the basic claim the Ramban began with was, you claim that Yeshua was right, and you're making claims against me from Jewish works. Well, there's a basic, obvious question here. Well, then why didn't all the rabbis become Christians like you? You left Judaism to become a Christian. If all the rabbis who were there in his time really held like you, then why didn't they all follow suit like you? Why didn't they all go with him? Why do I have a tradition that doesn't accept him as anything special? So that was something the Ramban said already last week. So now the Peri Pool, whatever he was, a monk or a priest or whatever he was, he yells, look, he denies their own works. And remember, at this point, all of his claims are stemming from our works. Amalti, so I said, Be'emet she'ini ma'min she'nolad ha'mashiach b'yom ha'churban. I don't believe the Messiah was born on the day of the destruction of the temple. V'agada hazot, and this medrash you're quoting me, o she'inai met, could be it's not true, o she'yesh la perush acher misitrei ha'chachamim. Or it could be there's a different explanation that's hidden in the words of our sages. You can't understand it literally. Now, we will see, towards the end of our learning tonight, the Ramban will come back and explain his claim, I don't believe a Midrash, what he means by that. When can you and when can't you say that you don't believe something that our sages said? And we also have to remember, that's why I began with the introduction last time we learned, that much of what the Ramban is saying, we have to take in context. The Ramban is saying things when he's arguing with a Christian. If he were talking to us here in Yeshiva, he might say things differently. As part of the claim, so he's making his claims this way. And it could very well be that part of the reason the Ramban is doing this, even though I find it hard to believe that the Ramban really held this, that he doesn't believe every Medrash, even though the Ramban is going to explain that you don't have to believe every Medrash, the Ramban is going to say that a little bit later. But it could be that there are Midrashim that the Ramban would be hard-pressed to explain to a person who doesn't understand the depths of how you're supposed to understand the Medrash. Meaning this Medrash he's going to get away with. He's going to give him an explanation and show him how this Medrash, even with the simple interpretation, is a proof to himself. But it could be that there are other Midrashim, had they really gone into it, the Ramban would have had a harder time explaining to someone who doesn't accept tradition and doesn't accept the depths of Midrashim what the Medrash really means. It could be that that's why the Ramban wanted to try and end the argument here. So the Ramban uses the Medrash as a proof to himself, but the Ramban is saying, if you're going to start bringing me Midrashim, I'm not obligated to answer every Medrash because I don't believe them, and the Ramban will back up that claim a little bit later tonight. What? Yeah.
Wasn't Yahshua born before the destruction of the temple?
Yes. That in a second there, Ramban will make that claim. So the claim against them was that the Jewish works say that that their man was the Messiah, and they quote this Medrash that says that on the day the temple was born, the Messiah was, that on the day the temple was destroyed, or on the day that this person heard of the temple being destroyed, the Mashiach was born. And Nachmanides says, the truth is, I don't believe it. And this medrash you're quoting me, this Haggadah, either it's not true, or it has a different interpretation. It's one of the hidden things our sages taught. But I'm willing to accept it with the simple interpretation, the way you quote it, because this is really a proof to me. What is this saying? On the day of the destruction, and this is really after the destruction, on that day the Mashiach was born. Im ken en Yeshu Mashiach kasher amartem, then Yeshu isn't the Messiah, like you claim. Shehu kodem achurban nolad v'nehrag, he was born and killed before the destruction of the temple. Veleidato karov le-200 shana kodem achurban lefi emet, and the truth is that Yeshu was born almost 200 years before the destruction, because Yeshu had his arguments with, according to our tradition, his Rebbe was Rabbi Yoshua ben Perachia, and that puts him in the days of Yanai, the king. And if he's in the days of Yanai, then he's about 200 years before the destruction. And even according to your calculations, Yeshu was born in Ein Gimel Shana, 73 years before the destruction. Az nishtatek ha'ish. So then this man became silent. I'm in doubt as to how to run this learning. Meaning, I feel like it's more my obligation just to translate and not add anything of my own. And if we're in agreement to that, I'll continue. Yeah, that's okay. No.
If you have something good to say, tell me.
See, I have questions to raise against the Ramban. But you guys might remain with the questions. So I don't mind raising them for the sake of intellectual honesty. But you have to realize that we're not coming to convince anyone here. So if you walk away from this whole argument and you say, yeah, I still have questions, yeah, I don't mind leaving you with questions. Questions are things we work through during the course of our lifetime. We don't get every answer today. So I wouldn't translate the Medrash the way Nachmanides translated the Medrash. Meaning, the Medrash says the Arab walked by, the cow let out a yell, and then he said, Jew, let go of, free everything. Let go of your plow, let go of the pear, let go of the cow. The temple has been destroyed. Was the temple destroyed that minute? Or was the temple already destroyed? So if you want to understand this all in an aura of the Medrash, you say, that minute the temple was destroyed, that's why the cow yelled, and that's the way Nachmanides is interpreting the Medrash. And then he lets go of everything, and then the cow gives another yell, and then he says, you see that yell? But it doesn't say he said, you see that yell. Go, rebind them, because the Mashiach has been born. Now, if you want to, you could say, like Nachmanides seems to be interpreting the Medrash, that's why the Medrash Bother is saying that the cow let out a yell. I hear that. But I don't know why you have to interpret the Medrash that way. Meaning, I could also have said that I don't know why the Medrash, I don't have an answer as to why the Medrash mentions the cow yelling. But the words of the Medrash, that the Mashiach was born, don't have to mean he was just born. It could mean he was born. It could mean he was born 200 years ago. It could mean he was born 70 years ago. It could mean he was born this minute. I don't see where in the words the Ramban sees that it's forced. Unless you say, well, then why did the Medrash bother mentioning the cows yelling? And then going with that, okay. But I'm not sure that you have to interpret it that way. You know, I could think of other ways of interpreting the Medrash. So I that's not my job here, you know. The Ramban isn't here to answer me. I'm sure he'd have an answer for me. Again, it's not that I'm saying this Medrash is a proof that it's not. The Ramban is saying, according to your interpretation, the Ramban began by saying, I don't believe it. And it could be part of the reason the Ramban made that claim was because he knew you could answer this. Maybe that's why the Ramban said, look, you're quoting me Midrashim. The truth is, our tradition is that Midrashim are the encloaking of the secrets of the Talmud. The Midrashim aren't literal. The Midrashim aren't there to tell you what they're saying. The Midrashim take a simplistic form to express a deep idea. And that deep idea, you need a tradition to decipher. You're not going to get it. If you don't have the tradition and the time having learned, you're not going to get the deep secrets that's hidden in this Midrash. So I have to answer you on your level. I can't walk away from the argument. So on your level, I'll answer you like this. So I'm not bothered by the Midrash. I'm just saying that we have to realize that the Ramban is answering on a certain level. I have to say that if I were there, if this were a class, I'd be giving the Ramban a hard time. I'd be saying, Rabbi, 1 second, but who says, right? That's what I'd be saying. Okay, again, I'm not saying this Midrash is supportive or contradictory. I'm just saying I'm not bothered by the question because I don't view Midrashim as simplistically as he does. So to me, the cow yelling, the Arab saying, you know, so what? All of this has deeper meaning. I don't understand it the way you understood to begin with. But going with the Ramban's attempt, or successful attempt in this case, to disprove the Christian from the same understanding he's quoting from the Midrash, I would have answered if I were there.
Can you tell what is this Midrash telling truth? What is your opinion? Is it too long to explain? It's about the current Arab.
There was a big rabbi in Prague called the Maharal. And he has a long work on this Midrash, explaining what is the depth of the idea that on the day of the destruction, the future was born. Nachmanides himself gives an interpretation, as we will see later on. He gives an interpretation. We have to wonder if he really believed in the interpretation too. Right. I don't know, but you have to remember that no one was forcing the Ramban to write this down. Meaning the Ramban came after the whole argument and said, I think that there's a need to have this written. I don't know what that need was. I don't know if it was for Jews or Christians or both. I don't know. We don't have an introduction here where he says who his target audience is. So we're reading it and we're missing a little bit of important information here. Echer Rabasi, they write down here Aleph Nun Zayin on the pasuk Aleile Ani Bochiyo. Medrash Rabban Echa.
So far we have seen that Rambam has been arguing and
Ramban,
and he has himself justified. He has justified himself on everything he said in this very situation. He's taking the Midrash literally. First and foremost, can we say that according to Jewish history, and now we live in a generation that we can see that clearly, can we say that after the destruction of first temple, the Geulah started, the destruction of first temple?
This Midrash, I don't know if it's talking about the first temple or the second temple. The Ramban seems to be learning it's going on the second temple.
But can we say that since the first temple was complete, and that didn't happen in the second temple, can we say the destruction of first temple gave path to the Geulah? It seems to be a complete nation. There are a lot of Israel, there are tribes, there is Aaron HaKodesh, there is Tilgul HaMenorah, there is everything. In the second temple, there is no Aaron HaKodesh, there is only one menorah. There is,
I don't know. I don't know. Yeah.
Because this was from Midrash Eicha Rabba, does that necessarily mean that it's from the time period of Yirmiyahu?
No.
It could be a later.
Let's hear the Ramban out. Tell us. Ana maistri gilim hashofet asher lamelech. So now the king's judge answered and said, En ata vikuach beYeshu. Our argument now is not about Yeshu. Aval hashaila im ba Mashiach or im lo. The question is, did the Mashiach come or not? The Ramban proved to them that this Midrash doesn't support that Yeshu is the Mashiach, so he said, but that's not the discussion. The discussion is, did the Mashiach come or not? Bata amalta shelo ba, and you, Nachmanides, you said the Messiah has not come. Vasefer hazeh shelachem omer sheba. And this book of yours says that the Messiah came. That's the point at hand now. Amalti lo, so Nachmanides said to him, Ata bocher kiminakhem lanot bimirma bedinin. You are choosing, as is your custom, to answer with deceit in the case. Meaning, we all know what our argument's about. So don't tell me it's all about whether Mashiach came or not. At the end of the day, you guys are Christians, not because you believe Mashiach came, but because you believe Yeshua was Mashiach. So he's saying, you're answering me with deceit. And even so, I'll answer you here. Our sages never said Mashiach came. Our sages said Mashiach was born. Ah, but this, now it's already knockout punch. There's no answer, as you'll see in a minute. Because the day that Moshe, our teacher, peace be upon him, the day he was born, Moshe didn't come the day he was born. He was no redeemer the day he was born. He was a cute little baby. What does it say in the Medrash? The Mashiach was born. When the Mashiach came to Paro under God's decree, when Moshe came to Pharaoh and said, this is what God said, send my nation, Azba, then Moshe came. And so too, when the Mashiach, when he comes before the one who's ruler over here, when he comes before the Apifyo, when he comes to him and says, God send me, let my people go, then the Mashiach came. Until today, he hasn't come. V'gam einenu Mashiach klal. And Yeshu, he ain't no Mashiach. He's no anointed one. Why? Ki David ha-melech b'yom shenolad lo haya melech v'lo Mashiach. Because David, the king, on the day he was born, he wasn't king. He wasn't the anointed one. Aval k'shemashcho Shmuel haya Mashiach. But when Shmuel, the prophet, anointed him, so then he became Mashiach. Mashiach means the anointed one. U'v'yom sheimshach Eliyahu la-Mashiach, and on the day that Elio anoints the Mashiach, when God says so, on that day he'll be called Mashiach. Until then, even if he was born, he hasn't come. He's no Redeemer. He's no Mashiach. Mashiach means anointed. Who anointed him? And then, the day he gets anointed, that's the day he gets the name Mashiach. The day later, when he comes to the king and he comes to redeem us, as he kare goel ba, then you could say the redeemer came. I haven't seen anyone be coming to the king and saying, "Let my people go." No redeemer came, so he's not Mashiach yet. He was born, okay. So he was born. Doesn't make him not a king, not a Mashiach, not a goel. Tano toaish. Then that man made a claim. Hine pashati ne yaskil avdi. There's in Isaiah at the end of the 52nd chapter. There is a parsha on which Isaiah discusses my servant who has been successful when in the past he suffered instead of everyone else, and the time will come when everyone will recognize that he suffered on their behalf. So the Christians always quote that parsha. It's in our prophet Yeshaya. And they always quote that and say that's talking about Mashiach. So now he claims and says, you know, that parsha misaperet inyan mitat haMashiach uvo biyat. That parsha discusses how Mashiach is going to die and fall in the hands of the enemy. V'natnu oto im arsha'im kasher haya b'Yeshu, and they lined him up with the wicked. That's exactly what happened with Yeshu. Ata ma'amin shetedaber otah parsha b'Mashiach. Do you, Nachmanides, believe that that parsha is talking about the Messiah or not? אמרתי לו, כפי המשמעות האמיתי, אינה מדברת אלא בעם ישראל בכללם. No. The true understanding in that parsha is that it's not talking about one individual, it's talking about the Jewish people as a whole. שכך קוראים אותן הנביאים תדיר, because the parsha is talking about עבדי, my servant. So you understand my servant is the Messiah. We understand my servant is the Jewish people. We find throughout the prophets the Jewish people are called Yisrael Abdi, my servant Israel, Yaakov Abdi, my servant Jacob. When God refers to the Jewish people, he often refers to them as my servant. So the parsha says this is what's going to be with my servant. Yeah, that's parsha is talking about the Jewish people. Amar peripul v'ani arem dibrei chachamim shelchem shum daber b'mashiach, and I'll prove it to you, he says, from the words of your sages that it's talking about the Messiah. Amarti lo, I said to him, ve'emetu ki rabotenu zal b'sifra agadot torshim oto al ha-Mashiach. It's true that our sages in their agadic works, they do derive things from it about the Mashiach. Aval lo amru me'olam she'yareg b'yad sonav. But our sages never said the Messiah would be killed by his enemies. Because you'll never find in any Jewish work, not in the Talmud, nor in the Agadot, שיהרג משיח בן דוד לעולם, that Mashiach, the son of David, will ever be killed. Now, notice that the Ramban is careful to say Mashiach bin David. He's maybe taking advantage of the fact that they don't know, or they don't bring up in the argument that we believe that there are two Mashiachs. There's a Mashiach from Yosef, just like there was a king from Rachel's children, King Saul. So there will be a Mashiach from Rachel's children, and he will die, and he'll have a great eulogy, and then the Jewish people will feel despair, and then the Mashiach from David will come, and then he won't die, he won't be killed by enemies. So the Ramban over here is gauging what he says. He says you won't find a single source that says Mashiach ben David died or was killed by the enemies. That's true. But, you know, there's another point to delve into here. Okay, but they didn't, so he didn't. Veloshi masel biyad sonav, nor will you find me a single source that says he was given over to the enemies. Veloshi kavel ben arshaim, nor that he was buried among the wicked. Ki afilu ha-mashiach she'asitem lachem lo nikbar, because even the Mashiach that you guys made for yourselves, he was never buried. Vani afaresh ha-parshaim tirtzu, bepirush tov umvar. And if you guys want, I'll give you a good, clear explanation what Isaiah is saying over there in that parsha. Then sham klal she'areg kasher haya de'mshichachem. And I'll show you that if you really understand what Isaiah is saying, he never says the Mashiach is going to be killed the way it happened to your Messiah. Ve'lo ratzu lishma, and they didn't want to hear. So Nachmanides composed his own work. There's another work, a few pages long, which Nachmanides takes that parsha, explains and proves his own explanation in that parsha. Truth be known, we have in our tradition, we have a few commentaries on Tanakh. Not everyone agrees with Nachmanides. Some say that that parsha is talking about the Messiah. It's just, you got to be aware, it's not only a Christian thing. There are different commentaries. You look at that parsha, look at the end of Yeshaya 52, look at the commentaries, you'll see. You have Nachmanides' approach, that whole parsha is talking about the Jewish people. And you have others who say it's talking about the Mashiach. It doesn't bother us. You know, we're not saying every sentence they say is ludicrous. We're saying some of the things they're saying are right, some of the things they're saying are wrong. Their attribution that he was Mashiach, that's wrong. Other things they say in that parsha, they might be right. We're not saying everything they say is wrong. We're saying there are critical points in which they err, which lead to their total claim being in error. But Nachmanides is strong. He's saying, no, that parsha isn't even talking about the Mashiach. Okay? Chazar oto ha'ish. Yeah.
So, you're saying that in Talmud, or Haman was saying it in Talmud and in Agadot, it's not written that Moshe ben David is going to be killed by his enemies. How said you should write something that will happen in the future?
They knew it from the Pesukim.
Okay, but how can we be sure that things were not going to be the way they wrote?
From the prophets. They didn't make it up. Based on tradition, based on the prophets. The sages said it based on the prophecies. They weren't inventing their own thoughts.
Even if there is a prophecy, things can change, right? Doesn't mean that the prophecy is going to be fulfilled in 100%. We only know that the prophecy is going to be fulfilled when it gets fulfilled, right?
You're raising a very big question that really it would take 10-15 minutes to discuss. It's a worthwhile question, but I think it's too big a tangent for tonight. Meaning you're basically asking, we know prophecies are sometimes contingent on conditions, so why not other prophecies? So let's expand the question. Who said we're going to be the chosen people? And you take it about the tenets of Jewish faith and ask that question. Let's just expand it to everything. Who said it didn't change? So that's a big question that deserves a big discussion, but we can't do that now. I'm saying it's a legitimate question. We just can't do it in this framework. If you want to do it on a Thursday night, just tell me the night before, and I want to prepare notes because I want to make sure. Sometimes we have discussions, And in these discussions, I let people interrupt and ask questions. Then we go off on tangents, and sometimes I don't forget to close all the corners. So sometimes I don't remember to close off all the corners. So I wouldn't want such a discussion to be left with holes. Sometimes I end class and I say to myself, boy, I didn't even finish that thought. We got sidetracked. And so I want to prepare notes before we have such a class. If you want it, just tell me the day before. חזר אותו האיש ואמר כי בתלמוד מפורש רב יהושע בן לוי שאל אליהו מתי יבוא המשיח. So this man came back and he said, the Talmud says explicitly that Rav Yehoshua ben Levi asked Elio, when is the Messiah coming? So Gemara in Sanhedrin, it's going to be in Daf Yomi in 10 days. V'hu ana oto, and Elio said to Rav Yehoshua ben Levi, Shal HaMashiach Atzmo, go ask the Messiah himself. So Rav Yehoshua ben Levi asks Elio, he asks the angel, tell me, when's the Messiah coming? And he tells him, go ask him yourself. So Rav Yehoshua ben Levi asks him, Ve'ichanu, where can I find him? So Elio tells him, Bepetach Droma Deroma Ben Acholim, in the entrance of Rome, among the ill. Halach Sham Umtzo. So Rav Yehoshua ben Levi went there, and he met Mashiach. Veshalo, and he asked him, Rabbi, when are you coming? So in Ken Kvar Ba. So if that's what's going on, the Messiah already came. V'hu b'Roma, he's in Rome. And that's Yeshu. And that's Yeshu's teachings that are ruling over all of Rome. So you see, he asked him, where is he? He's in Rome, go to Rome. He went to Rome, he found him, etc. Aniti los, I answered him, V'alom purash mikan shelopa, quite the contrary. In this Talmud, in this Talmudic quote, it's explicit that the Mashiach has not yet come. Sharei sha'al Eliyahu matay yavo. Because you see that Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi asked Elio, when will he come? You're talking about hundreds of years after the destruction of the temple, in Talmudic times. And Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi asked Elio, when will Mashiach come? You see, Mashiach hasn't yet come. V'chein sha'al elav be'atzmo, matay atimar. And so too Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, when he goes to Rome, he meets the Mashiach and he tells him, Rabbi, when are you coming? You see, that's a clear indication he has not yet come. Im ken lo ba'adayim, so then he hadn't yet come. Aval nolad kefi pshutei elu agadot. The only thing those agadic work tell us is that he was born, not that he has come yet. Veini mamin bekach, but I don't believe in any of that. Azana adoneinu amelech. Then our master, the king, answered, she'im nolad b'yom chuban bet hamikdash, he said, wait a second, Nachmanides. If he was born, like you say, he was born back at the destruction, so then it's been 1,000 years since the destruction, he hasn't yet come. Ech yavo, how exactly do you expect him to come? Naturally, human beings don't live 1,000 years. So what do you mean he was born but he hasn't yet come? Amalti lo. Now notice they're already in the Ramban's court. Because if he's talking about the Mashiach being born at the destruction, that's not Yeshu. Yeshu, right? So I said to him, "Kvar ayu atnaim shelo etvakach imcha velo taneh bavikuach." One of our conditions before we started the debate was that I won't be debating you, Your Majesty, and that you won't get involved in the debate. Aval kvar ayu barishonim. But, you know, if you go back to world history, in the Tanakh it says, in the earlier generations you had Adam, Metushelach, Korov Lelef Shanim, they lived almost 1,000 years. Ve'eliyahu ve'chanoch, yotel mikan, and Elio and Chanoch, they never died. They've been living since then, they've been living more than 1,000 years. Ke'achayim la'el, because God controls how long a person lives. Amar ve'anahu ayom. So the king said, okay. Obviously, he's not too perturbed by the fact that he's not supposed to get involved with the debate. The king keeps answering Nachmanides and says, so where is the Mashiach today? You're telling me he's still alive. Okay, where? This it doesn't pertain to our argument, I said to him. So I'm not going to answer you. But maybe if you go to Tulitula, if you go to that capital, that was a capital city where... they had also many religions. Maybe if you go there, you'll find the Mashiach. In tishlach shamish chad min artim shecha amarti kimatel. I said joking, if you send a messenger, maybe you'll find out he's there, that there's a very old man there. Azam dumisham, so they all stood up. Venatan ha-melech zman lachzol ha-vikoch b'yom ha-sheni haba. The king said, we will continue our debate next Monday. So the debate is put on pause. B'yom ha-hu, maybe we'll divide the recordings, make it easier on the listeners.